If you would turn with me tonight in the Word of the Lord, the book of Mark, chapter number 6. Mark, chapter number 6, as we read from the Word of the Lord, starting at verse number 45 and reading down through verse number 52. Mark 6 and 45. Would you stand tonight as we read the Word of the Lord? Mark 6 and 45, reading down through verse number 52. Even the Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. He saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. Immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." The other day, my daughter asked me why a preacher reads a passage of Scripture and then goes back and rereads a verse. I said, well, it's kind of to draw emphasis and to kind of point something out. So I read the entire passage, but where I want to draw your attention to this evening, the Bible said in verse number 48, he saw them toiling in rowing. And then notice this, for the wind was contrary unto them. Amen. May the Lord bless you as you're seated tonight in the presence of the Lord. This time of a storm in the disciples' life, I want to talk to you about tonight. I just want to talk to you about storms and their sermons. Storms and their sermons. I want to talk to you about this storm in the disciples' life, because all of us at one time or another will find ourselves in a storm. And one thing I appreciate about the Word of God is this, that not everything always went perfect for the disciples. Have you noticed that? Obviously, they were not perfect men, but things didn't go perfect at all times for them. They learned to contend and struggle. They learned how to grow and develop. They learned how to handle adversity. And because we see them learning how to handle adversity, sometimes in our life we read the story and then we apply their lessons to our lives, and we too know how to handle adversity. It'd be wonderful if you and I could know how to avoid storms in our life. This is a physical storm in our text, but you and I more than likely have spiritual storms and those dark days. Maybe you've never been there, but it's coming to your life. If you serve God long enough, I'm going to realize this, we're going to have some storms that come our way. Storms that will try our faith. Storms that will try our convictions. We're going to live in a world where we're going to be tried until Jesus comes. Now, that's not discouraging news, but rather just information, because the Bible promises us that in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of a storm, you and I don't have to wonder, well, God, why did this happen? But on the contrary, what you and I simply realize is He already promised He'll be with us through the storm. That it doesn't mean God has forsaken us or God has left us alone, but rather He is with us in the fiery furnace. He is with us when we are being tried. You know, there are those that tell us if you have a storm in your life, then you're out of the will of God. But that doesn't hold water with Scripture, because in the text that I have tonight, who told them to get into the boat? I said it was Jesus that told them to get in the boat. They were in the midst of the will of God. So sometimes storms, they can come when we're out of the will of God, for sure, because Jonah, didn't he get in a storm? He got in a bad storm out of the will of God. But yet, in the will of God, these men are in a storm as well. And I would to God, sometimes we could avoid the storm. And sometimes God lets us avoid storms. The Israelites, when God sent plagues, He protected the Israelites, and the plagues did not come upon them, and God spared them. And thank God for every time that He allows the storm to pass us by, and we don't have to go through that storm. But friend, I'm going to tell you, serving God for a few years, there have been a lot of storms that have come my way. We see there's storms in America. There's storms in your family. There's even storms inside of churches. And we know as believers, there's storms in our life. But in the midst of the storm, I don't doubt the love of God. In the midst of the storm, I don't doubt God's faithfulness to me. In the midst of the storm, I realize that God is still with me, that God is still on my side. And given time, I'll come out of that trial. I'll come out of that adversity with a testimony, with the ability to lift up my hands and magnify God who never leaves us and never, never forsakes us. But tonight I want to talk to you about what a storm can do to a man. What a storm can do to a man. Then I want to talk to you about what Jesus can do to a storm. But first of all, what a storm can do to a man. If we're not careful, some of the same things that happened to these disciples will happen to us. It doesn't seem like it fails. But a storm comes up into somebody's life and all of a sudden it seems as if their faith goes right out the window. But before the storm came, I mean, they were worshiping God and loving God and magnifying God. And then a storm comes into their life and it's like they lost all of their faith. They lost all of their praise and they lost all of their worship. And I'm telling you, friend, I want to find out why God let this storm come into these disciples' life. And I want to learn that lesson and then I want to apply it to my life. But here's what I know a storm can do to a man. It can make you focus just on toiling and rowing. Or it can make you serve. Would it offend anybody tonight if I take off my coat? Would it offend you at all? Amen. All right. Good deal. If it did, I was going to have to apologize. I was going to take it off anyway, but I was at least going to apologize for it. Amen. It can cause you to serve without joy. But the Bible said that they were toiling and rowing. Now, the Bible said that Jesus came to them in the fourth watch of the night. The Jews broke up their day into four nights. And so this happened between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. It was the last watch of the night. I would that sometimes the Lord would come in the first watch of the night or maybe the second watch of the night. But really, Jesus, He waits all night long. They have worked all night. They have toiled, they have rowed, and they have gotten nowhere. They are still in the midst of the sea. They're not getting to the other side. They are in the midst of the sea. The Bible said the wind was contrary, or the wind was holding them in place. They were doing everything they knew to do, but they were getting nowhere. They were strong men. They were fishermen. They were toiling. They were rowing, but they were going absolutely nowhere. You ever been there? You ever felt like that? You come to church and you try to worship God, and it just feels like the winds of oppression and the winds of adversity are just kind of holding you at bay, and you're like, man, I can't seem to break through. I can't seem to have a breakthrough. I can't seem to get anywhere with God. I can't seem to see the Holy Ghost moving in my life. And the devil just kind of makes you feel like, well, I'll just give up. I'll just quit. I'll just surrender. I'll just lose my joy. But here's what I know. Amen. The Lord, the Bible said the Lord saw them. He saw them toiling and rowing. He knew that He was going to come to them right when they needed Him the most. Here's what I don't want you to do is quit God. Even when you feel like He's forsaken you, when you feel like you're toiling, when you feel like you're rowing, and you say, I'm not getting anywhere. Oh, yes, you are. You're still in the fight. I said, you're still in the fight. The devil said that you'd already backslide and you already give up, but you're still in the house of the Lord. I said, you're still singing, you're still shouting, you're still clapping, you're still dancing, you're still in the fight. I said, oh, thank God tonight. Amen. The joy of the Lord, it is my strength. I said, I can't quit. There's nothing to go back to. I said, when I got saved, I didn't leave anything back there I wanted. I left sorrow behind. I left sin behind. Look what we've got in God. The joy of the Lord. The peace of God. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. We've got a reason to shout and to celebrate. But there's a lot of folks that are simply toiling. That's what revival's all about. Sometimes we feel like, well, we're just going to have to toil for a while.
We're just going to row for a while. It can make you feel like you're going nowhere.
No wonder the Bible said that sometimes it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Sometimes it just feels like our prayers aren't getting anywhere above the ceiling. You ever felt like that? What would you do? Well, sometimes I felt like that preaching. What do you do? Close your Bible and quit preaching? No, absolutely not. If the first time I felt like I didn't feel God like I wanted in service, I quit. None of us had served God very long. But what we do is we get a bulldog grip. We get a bulldog grip and we say, hey, I'm going to keep fighting. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep worshiping God. I'm going to keep magnifying God. I'm going to praise Him whether I feel like it or not. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. And before long, Jesus is going to come walking on the water. And here's what I know. He's coming to right where I am. I said He's coming. Coming to right where I am. I said, if you hold on a little while, the Son of God is going to show up right where you're at. What a storm can do to a man, it can make you feel like you're serving without any joy. It's like Brother Bill Houston talking about those two old drunks walking by the church, and they heard some commotion. The windows were a little high, and they couldn't see in. So one said, hey, put me on your back and let me crawl up and see what's going on inside there. And so the one drunk got on the other drunk's back and peered in and said, hey, what's going on in there? He said, I don't know. But whatever they're doing, it doesn't look like they're enjoying it very much. Amen. Hey, when we come to the house of the Lord, how many believes we ought to have the joy of the Lord? Amen. I'd rather be in the house of God than anywhere I know. Some will say they'd rather be in a house of God than a hospital. Well, of course. A nursing home. Yeah, really, I understand that. I'd rather be in God's house and God's presence than anywhere I know. Amen. Thank God for the joy of the Lord. But here's what I know a storm can do to a man. It can deceive you. It can trick you. For the Bible said they began to cry out and say concerning Jesus, it is a spirit. You wouldn't believe this, but sometimes I've had people think I didn't love them. Well, the pastor don't care. The pastor don't love us. You know that old Kingsman song, he didn't even shake my hand, you know, little ditty. And hey, I'm telling you, I had people get offended. He walked right by me. I had a fellow tell me the other day, he said, you walked right by me. God is my witness, I didn't see the man. Said I talked to another person right beside him. I didn't see it, but you know what? He got offended. That's the reason. That's the reason the Kingsman wrote that song, is because it's true. If it wasn't so true, it wouldn't be so funny. It can cause you to, well, the church don't care. Nobody loves me. Nobody knows what I'm going through. The Bible said they cried out for fear. Sometimes when you're trying to see things, it can mess up how you really feel. I remember we'd only been married a little while, and it was the most scared I've ever been in my life to this point. We'd been married. We got married June 1st, 1991. We were in a little one-bedroom apartment in Dayton, Ohio, and it was sometime in the middle of the night. And I remember my wife curling up tight to me, putting her arms around my arm and snuggled up tight and coming up and beginning to whisper in my ear in the middle of the night. Brother Tim, she said, I'm telling you, I felt fire come out of the end of my fingertips. I didn't know whether to go karate. I didn't know whether to go kung fu. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know whether to lay there and hope that he just changed. I didn't know what was going on. I was scared out of my mind. You ever been in a dream to where something happened and you froze? I was scared to death. A few seconds later, she said, dribbling a basketball. It was the middle of the night, and she dreamed it. She dreamed that there was a There was a Batman in a corner dribbling a basketball. I mean, she was convinced he was there, and she convinced me too for a little while that he was there. Hey, the Bible says that these disciples, somebody got fear in their heart, and they started talking to the other disciples, and before long, everybody's full of fear, and then they're crying out. They're crying out for fear. Here's what I know. In the midst of a storm, friend, when a storm comes to America, or the storm comes to a church, or the storm comes to a family, all of a sudden it's like fear is contagious. It's like everybody's just sitting around. How are we going to get through? What are we going to do? We better give in. We better throw in the towel and quit. Hey, friend, it's no time to give up. It's no time to throw in the towel. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. I know that God is with us, that we're not forsaken of God, that storms come and storms go, that if we'll endure for a little while. The Bible said that weeping may endure for the night, but joy. It's coming in the morning. The Bible said that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. The Bible said that we have somebody with us. The Bible said that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Friend, we've got a reason to sing. We've got a reason to shout. Hallelujah. What a storm can do to a man, it can overwhelm your emotions. The Bible said they cried out for fear. They began to cry out for fear. But notice something else the Bible says in 6 and 52 of my text. They considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. That verse doesn't make sense. We're talking about Jesus walking on the water. And yet, in the midst of this story, the Holy Ghost inserts the verse, they considered not the miracle of the loaves. What's the point? What is the writer telling us? It is this. God had just performed a miracle of taking a little lunch from a boy and multiplying it and feeding 20,000 people. They get into a boat. To go to the other side. They get in the midst of the problem, and all of a sudden it looks like fear overwhelms them. And the Bible said they forget what God has done. Here's what the writer is telling us. If God can take a little lunch and multiply it and feed 20,000 people, He can take care of you in the storms of life. That if you can remember where God has brought you from, anybody look back and realize, I said God's been good. I said God's never failed me. I said, God's never come up short. I've been through some dark days. I've been through some lonely hours. But I'm still here. I said, God's not forsaken me. His arm is not short. And His power is not great. I said, thank God, if He brought me through that, He can keep me through this. If He can do that, He can do this. Oh, why don't you give the Lord a good praise tonight? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's give Him the best praise that we've got. Glory to God, glory to God. Hasn't He been faithful to you? I said He's going to bring us through. Look what He's done. Look where He brought us from. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. If He brought you through that, He can keep you through this. If He did, look, has He ever done some miracles for you? Anybody ever had a miracle from God? I said, if He did it once, will He not do it again? I said, has God come to you when nobody else could? If God did it then, let me ask you, does God change? I said, 1,000 times no. But He's the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. If He was able to raise the dead then, He can do it now. If He walked the water then, He can do it now. He's the same. He's the same. I've got news. You're coming through the storm. Hallelujah. What a storm can do to a man. It caused these disciples to question God.
Now hear me, because I know you and I have been trained and taught you never ask God any questions, and certainly why, but notice in Matthew's reading of this same story, they ask the question. Jesus answers and says, "Wherefore didst thou doubt?" Matthew 14 and 31. Why did you doubt me? Why did you wonder? Why did questions fill your heart? It can cause a man to question God. Why me? Why us? Why our family? Why cancer? Why this sickness? Why my job? Why my finances? Why my child? Why my grandchild? Why us? And friend, that is such a perplexing question that is unanswerable in the world in which we live. And it has caused many hearts to be turned bitter against God. I'm telling you, friend, I don't know that why sometimes bad things happen to good people, and sometimes I don't know why good things happen to bad people, except that it rains on the just and the unjust. I know what a storm can do to a man, but let me also preach to you secondly what Jesus can do to a storm. Not just how storms have messed me up, but I have watched Jesus in the midst of the storm. And the Bible said that he come walking on the water. The first thing he does is he shows up right on time. He comes to where we're at. I'd love tonight on a Monday night for the Son of God to come walking in this building, stop by your pew, knock on your heart's door and say, "I'm here. I'm here." But he not only comes, but the Bible said he comes. I said he's greater than the storm. When he said, "Peace be still, peace be still." I was recently dealing with a family that the individual of their family that is sick possibly might have some sort of terminal cancer. And that's a pretty unsettling diagnosis. When you hear the word cancer thrown out, it's a death sentence. So it seems. And I've been in that hospital room recently. And the times that we have prayed, and the Holy Ghost has come by, and in the midst of all of this turmoil, in the midst of this uncertainty, if we don't know what we are even up against yet, we have felt the Son of God show up on the scene. We have watched Jesus come to that family and begin to calm their nerves. Oh, hallelujah. I would to God that Jesus Christ would show up tonight. And not only show up, but he'd calm the storm. But thirdly and finally, not only what Jesus can do to a storm, but what he can do to a man in a storm. Notice this. The story unfolds that Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking on the water. Let me talk to you. The thing that is perplexing you and the thing that is troubling you, you can get victory over. You can shout over it. You can dance over it. The thing that's holding you back, the thing you're struggling with, you can leave this building tonight with, "I've got joy. I've got peace. I've got victory." Thank God. God, that God can give a man victory in the midst of a storm. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Peter walked on the water. Jesus said, "It is I. It is I. Be not afraid." But notice this also. The Bible said in 6 and 51, they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. The same verse in Matthew 14 and 33 says that they worshiped him. In the midst of this storm, he gave them power to worship him.
In the midst of this storm, they still began to magnify and glorify Him. I don't know about you, friend, but when I come to the house of the Lord, whether I've got a storm or whether there's no storm, I'm going to lift up the name of the Lord. We might even sing Victory in Jesus three times. Sing it four times. Sing it five. I don't care. But I'm going to clap my hands. I'm going to worship the Lord, because He's been good. I said He's been good. He showed up in the dark nights. He's been there in the lonely days. Matter of fact, nobody's ever done me like Jesus. I said nobody's ever been a friend like Jesus. And when I come to His house, I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to worship Him. Why don't you stand up tonight, give God some praise, and thank God for His faithfulness, and say, I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. To the Lord of glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to praise His name. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Holy, 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 holy. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Holy, 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 holy. My God, my God, my God, my God. Don't lose your praise. I said, don't lose your praise, friend. I said, don't lose your praise. Don't lose your worship. He's like, preacher, I'm in a storm. Hey, I understand. You might be in a storm. Your family might be in a storm. But I'll tell you what God can do to a man in a storm. He can give you power to step out of the boat and to walk on water. He can give you power to lift up hands and say like Job, behold, the Lord is good, and blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. Whether He sends healing or He sends cursing, I'm going to bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. In the midst of the storm, they're praising Him. They're, what in the world? What in the world? Why? Because you see, He is who He is, whether I praise Him or not. I'm not praising Him because of what He's done. I'm praising Him because of who He is. Sometimes, would you be honest with me? If we feel like God's really done some good things for us, boy, woo, praise the Lord. But if it's a little dark and it's a little cloudy and it's a little stormy and it's a little dark and it's a little lonely, I don't have much to praise the Lord about. Am I the only one that lives in that intersection? Am I the only one who lives at that address? Hey, friend, but what I've found is this, that when I don't feel like I have a lot to praise the Lord for, it's because I'm looking at myself. I got my eyes on me. But when I get my eyes on Him, and I realize He's still who He said He was, that He still reigns in glory, that He's still God all by Himself, that He still looks down low, but He sits high, that He's still the Alpha and He's still the Omega. I get the praise of the Lord, all of a sudden something starts turning, something starts rejoicing, and before long the very presence of God is walking the avenues of my heart. Hey friend, tonight when we come around this altar, maybe you're in the midst of a storm. You say, man, I've been toiling, I've been rowing, I've been full of fear, I've been seeing things that aren't right. I just been, my perspective is all messed up. I'll tell you what Jesus can do. He can come to right where you're at. He can come to right where you're at, and He can say, peace, be still. And in the midst of that, not only is He going to touch the storm, He's going to touch you. Because sometimes He'll touch the storm, but then sometimes He'll touch you. And the Bible said they were full of praise. So maybe tonight, with every head bowed and every eye closed here, Brother Austin, I'm in the midst
I'm in the midst of a storm. I feel like I got some things going on in my life, and I know I'm in the midst of a storm. But I really would like for Jesus to come to me right where I'm at and begin to touch me in the midst of this storm. Anybody in the building tonight, you just lift up a hand and say, Brother Ralston, you preach right where I'm at. And I want to keep my praise. How about it? Tonight, just no one but the pastor looking this evening. God bless these hands. God bless these hands. Hey, friend, I'd love to tell you how to avoid storms. I'd love to tell you how to avoid the storms of life, but I can't do it. But I can tell you how to get through them. You and the Lord, you can get through them. And you can get through them praising and magnifying the name of the Lord. Amen. Those that lifted their hands and the rest of the church, come on tonight. Let's gather in around this altar where you say, we just lift up the name of the Lord. What do you say? We just begin to praise Him.